praise you, we glorify you. We thank you, O Lord, for sending your word to heal us. Hallelujah. We are living in very, very dark times. The church is in the world. The kingdom of God is here. And the kingdom of God is in a people of God. And there are many traps set. Many traps set. And the traps that you can see, that you encounter every day, hindrances and falls, like falling for sin, weak, falling for the setup of the devil. So many traps are set, but those are merely the ones, as many as they are, it's there to separate you from God, that you will not reach God, that you will not get to victory, that you will not get enough strength to overcome, that you would stay away from prayer. These traps are set to keep you from praying, to keep you from grabbing hold of the horns of the altar. And these traps are strategically set by Lucifer. Hallelujah. We know that he's real according to Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, that encounter with Jesus. His is God. And how he has set out to take over the world, and was so delighted to brag to Jesus, his God, because you know that Jesus came down as flesh, and so he was glad. He knew Jesus. They knew one another. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan. I was there when he came down like lightning, was thrown down as lightning. I was there." And so he was glad to meet Jesus, to brag about, hallelujah, his advancement that he's made with man against their God. And he was glad to brag about the stronghold that he has. The world was empty. God made man. God created man. And he created man in his image and in his likeness. And hallelujah, man strayed from their God. The image of God's mark on a man. And this is the reason why when they brought the coins and asked about paying tribute to Caesar, Jesus took it out and Jesus said, "Whose inscription is on it?" Because Jesus knew fully well his inscription is on human being, mankind. Hallelujah, man belonged to me, money belonged to Caesar. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and give to me the things that are mine. You are mine. Your heart belongs to me. Your soul belongs to me. My mark is on you. Getting ready to brand it with his blood for redemption. Praise the Lord. And so there are so many traps that are set so to keep us confused and to keep us from reaching the place where we can experience the love of God. Because if ever we can get to that place of wholeness where we can experience the love of God, we will never look back. Hallelujah, glory to God. And this is why you find people like me, and even people who have just gone saved. They got saved well. They love the Lord. And so you, they habits are the things of God. Prayer, fasting, singing, blessing the Lord. Hallelujah. Going to the house of God. Abiding in the tabernacle of God, reading the scriptures, searching the scriptures, praise the Lord, giving and doing good works and good deeds, hallelujah, and their lives are full and fruitful. So before you can get there, the devil would love for you to waste time tending to life that will perish, tending to things that will mean nothing in a minute. But you're so busy doing it anyway. And some of us are doing nothing. Just the devil, I was so busy doing nothing. Too lazy to do anything, good or evil. The devil just has us just sitting in an evil place. You don't even have to do evil to be evil. Your mind just idle, not of God. So So there are lots of traps set. Hallelujah. And whether it's your family, whether it's, and most of the time, you are the problem. And I want you to understand that we do encounter family problems, but most of that problem is you. Can I submit to you that truth? I know it from experience. Most of the problem that you are faced with other people, it's you. Hallelujah. But Jesus came to set the captive free. Because you are a captive to emotions. You are attached, you are connected to people that will hurt you. That's a stronghold. You're the problem. You're weak. People that would lead you astray. People that are no good for you. Jobs that are not uplifting for you, taking you nowhere. Environment. You're in an unhealthy environment. And just for the money, you go anyway, even though you know it's taking you down. Mentally, it's not good for you. The environment, the people, the conversations that you endure every day, it's not helpful for you. The place that you work, the places that you go, the things that you do that you involve yourself in. And I'm talking to the people of God. It sounds like I'm talking to the world and sinners, but they're sinners anyway. They can be saved. You say you're saved. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What are you doing there? Hallelujah. Why are you here? And so we live in a time when, hallelujah, the blindness, our eyes are blind, the blindness, hallelujah, glory to God, that this world has blinded us, the things that we desire, that it's either from God or the devil. If it's not born out of the seed, if it didn't grow out of the seed, which is the word of God, then it's from the devil. How do you know the difference between what's from God and what's not from God? Is it from heaven? Is it from the word of God? If it's not from the word of God, it doesn't matter how well it's generated. It doesn't matter how well it's generated. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how well it is made, how well it is concocted. Hallelujah. It's not from God. If it's not from the word of God, the people of God must assign something. If it's not from the word of God, it's not from God, period. It doesn't matter where it came from. Before you touch it, before you use it, is it from God? You have to want to be saved. You have to want to be kept. Against your flesh, against yourself. Hallelujah. And you have to put a difference between clean and unclean. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we have lots of traps set. Hallelujah. Lots of traps set. The devil has set a lot of traps, and God himself has. He said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10 and 11, he said that he will deceive man, and the church, he will deceive man on that day. Speaking of the church, because they refuse to love the truth, don't want to hear the truth. Hallelujah. I, therefore, will send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. I will reward them with a lie. So false prophets, false teachers, believe in what you want because it's easier, it's palatable, it's easier to swallow, it's easier for you to believe a lie than the truth. It's easy. But when the day of judgment comes, will it benefit you? And so many traps are set. So we're living in a very, very dark time. And the question that God, hallelujah, had for you tonight. And what God wants you to understand. And we live in a time where you don't know Christians by visual. You can't look at somebody. When they're real. But you can really look on someone and tell that they are a Christian. Someone can really look on you. I'm not talking about other people in here. I'm talking about you. Someone can really look at you and tell that you're a Christian. Someone cannot look at you and say, that's a child of God. That's a Christian. Gone are those days. We all behave alike. Look alike. There is no mark. Hallelujah. But God, the Holy Ghost, wants to speak with us tonight. The mark of a true Christian. The mark of a true Christian. Being ruled by demon spirits. Being ruled by emotions. Being ruled by self-will. Being ruled by carnal mind. We think whatever we think is good and righteous, we run with it. Hallelujah, not ruled by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus himself said it. It's expedient for me to go away, and when I go away, the Comforter will come. Hallelujah. And when the Comforter is come, he will lead you, he will guide you, he will teach you. It is his voice you will hear in place of mine. Hallelujah. But there is a vacuum there because we are not the church of this day. The modern day church tend to ignore the Holy Ghost. And it is a normal thing to do. And may I submit to you, brothers and sisters, you cannot hear the voice of the Holy Ghost to the level of spirituality you're at. You cannot hear the voice that you're hearing of seducing spirits. So many people say, God, say God, say God, say God, the devil. Not the one and only sovereign God. And speaking of Jesus saying, your father, the devil, to Israel, that is what I'm saying to you. So the voices that you hear, you have to go up further in the spirit to hear God. Above the fray, above the voices of the enemy. You have to go deeper, hallelujah, in the Word of God, higher in the Spirit, deeper in the Word of God, hallelujah, to surely have no interception, because where most people are, the devil is speaking or can easily intercept with things that has no confirmation of scripture, with things, speaking things that has nothing to do with God care about. Let's find out if in the scripture at all you hear all of this once we come to church. God is speaking to me about my business. God is speaking to me about my school. God is speaking to me about my... Look in the scripture and see if any of it is there. God spoke to me about my ministry. Look in the scripture how we have compartmentalized Christ. The church, the voice of the Holy Ghost, and God said, listen, God said all about our lives, nothing about his life. All about our aspirations, nothing about what he wants. The mark of a true Christian. May I take this few minutes to submit to you the mark of a true Christian. And don't be surprised when you don't find yourself there. It is coming so that you can put yourself there. The mark of a true Christian. Now, Christianity today is another nationality. You're either Jew, Christian, Muslim, or some other Hindu. They're all nationalities, religious nationalities, Islamic rather than Muslim, religious nationalities, just signifying a belief what you may lean to believe, because in Christ you don't believe until you're born again, until your old is diminished. So there are some religion that someone may favor. In Christianity, you can get away with just believing and having a good feeling toward it without practicing. In other religions of the world, you must practice. It's discipline, you must practice. Christianity is the only one that where sinners can say, I believe and preach and be believed and have a flock following them. Regardless of whether they are in relationship with Jesus Christ, life is ruled by the Holy Spirit. They're living sacrifices, dead to the flesh or not. All they have to do is just say, and they will find some followers in Christianity. In the other religions, there are leaders who supersede the people. And they almost worship to bind the people. Because they are so set apart and holy according to their beliefs. So anyone cannot take that place in that seat. It has to be granted. They have to be ordained. Proven many years. Up in age, according to their religion, they have to be disciplined, slave to that religion. Live for nothing else but that religion. And Jesus is worth more than that. But because God gave us through Jesus Christ, a choice. He doesn't put a burden on us. All he did was put a judgment seat at the end of it. Everybody can do what they want to do, however they wish to do it, until they cannot do it anymore. Until they are stopped by death or the coming judgment. But everyone will answer to what they have done. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, I believe it's 8:25, somewhere there. Because judgment is not executed speedily on the heart of man, it is set within the heart to do evil. And so it is very important, because we are not swiftly punished. We are not swiftly punished. So we take for granted the patience of God. I am talking to Christianity. We take for granted the patience of God. We take for granted the patience of God. I'm talking to you. We take for granted the mercies of God. We take for granted the blood of Jesus Christ. We take for granted the blood of Jesus Christ. We take for granted the long suffering of our God. We take for granted, because we cannot see the punishment or the decree that has gone out. So the conviction of the Holy Ghost upon our hearts, we take for granted, ignoring God. We don't tremble at his word. So what is the true mark of Christianity? Because it does have a mark. Christianity has a mark. You can see, now, Christianity in Acts chapter 11, it is a nickname given to the believers. They were first called Christians. In Acts chapter 11, verse 13, somewhere there. They were first called Christians. The believers were first called Christians in Antioch. This is after the great work of teaching of Barnabas and Saul, the early church that went, that what was scattered abroad in Cyprus and various places. And the Christians, the Jewish Christians that lived in among the Greeks, they preached the gospel to the Jews. But then there were some of them, including Barnabas, who was a Levite, by the way, who was of Cyprus, preached the gospel to the Gentiles there, paving the way for Saul of Tarsus, who would come to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And they were called Christians because their pattern, their discipline, obeying everything that they were taught. They were trained. They were disciplined. What God said was not optional. What Jesus said was not optional. They knew that he died, the fresh death, the memory of all the tragedy that happened with the Son of God, with the Savior. It was fresh, and they were persecuted, but they did not surrender to anything less than what Jesus Christ commanded. So they were nicknamed Christians. So the mark of a true Christian, hallelujah, the mark of a true Christian, if we were to go to Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, Peter asked the Lord a question. Peter asked Jesus a question. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. After Jesus is done talking to the rich young ruler and speaking on how hard it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. When riches is sought after, it is hard. It is impossible. Hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Because money is a trap. You begin to love money. You're not allowing God to rule the money because you have it. You just spend it and you give it. So money, to be rich is a trap. Paul wrote to Timothy about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so to move to our focus, Peter asked Jesus a question. The 27th verse, Matthew chapter 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? In this little verse right here, one of the marks of true Christianity, we have forsaken all. We have given up everything we know life is supposed to be. We are forsaken all to follow you. You can also find that in Mark chapter 10, 38, Luke chapter 18, verse 28. We might go there. We have given up all to follow you. To follow Jesus is to give up everything. It will cost you your aspiration. You want to be this, you want to be that, you want to be that. Girl, go on and pray, God bless this one, bless this one. As you choose what you want to be, what you desire to be, and we pray for God to bless you. That is not Christianity. That is not a true mark of a Christian. Whatever it is that you have planned to do, now, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God, change your whole outlook on life. It is all about the kingdom of God. The kingdom children lives different from the world. Therefore, you will find that many reasons you are so troubled and so suicidal and so discouraged and in such despair. It is because you have not found true salvation. It is so confusing. You feel that you must get a job. Whatever that job is, they pay more. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Saul of Tarsus was a very educated man. But when he had his encounter with Christ on that fateful day, when you get an encounter with God, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Saul did not have to. Saul could have done anything he wanted to do. Very educated man, spoke several languages. Very zealous soldier. Very capable, very able man, military man. He said, exercise prophet little. So we understand that he was a man of physique. Every vain thing that is highly exalted in the world, he had access to. But he understood. I have an encounter with him. He saw the heavens. He saw the light. He was changed. He understood religion from the Pharisees when he was brought up here. He understood, he knew about Jesus, the Messiah, and not Jesus, but the Messiah coming. And he, with that encounter, realized that it was Jesus. So the Sanhedrin never did. Some of them had the Nicodemus, Josephus. But his first question, Lord, what will you have me to do? He didn't go on doing what he feels like doing, what he thought was the only thing for him to do, that there was nothing else for him to do. He did not go on and say, God bless me, you know I have to work, bless me, God bless. The mark of a true Christian, it's giving up everything for God. If God is all he say he is, why don't you stand in the middle of nowhere and say, God, you tell me. You tell me. I give it all up for you. You tell me. You go on ignoring the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Then you fall in traps, strongholds around your neck, because you want Christianity a certain way, and it's not working that way for you. So you are in despondent. But until you go God's way, until you find God, you realize that negotiate. You would have to tremble and say, I give up, I surrender. As long as you keep negotiating your life, your Christianity, your beliefs, or how you feel it should go and how you think it should go. It didn't help you so far. So may I submit, surrender to you. It's not working out. It will cost you everything to follow Jesus. But in an instant, as soon as you step over and leave yourself behind, you step over in a blessed place. It just takes that one decision. You step over in a blessed place where everything depends on nothing that you've ever known or can see or ever known. The mark of a true Christian. Saul was blinded by the light, ended up on a street, no coincidence, called straight. Blinded for 3 days, fasted. The mark of a true Christian is a life of fasting. A life of fasting. You cannot feed your belly and hear from God. The mark of a true Christian is a life of fasting. Fasting. Not abstaining from food. Fasting to seek the face of God. The first thing he did was fast it. Fast it. Having a relationship. I want to know you. Food, however, food, spend your little money on food, experience, even food. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses is not walking around knocking on the door, telling people anything. That's not witnesses. You shall be witnesses because your life will be one that's powerful, full of faith. Wisdom. Everybody would know that you were born of God. I believe it's in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, 15 there. They looked at the apostles and they said, some ignorant men. These used to be some ignorant men. They marveled that now they were ignorant no more. They marveled, can continue to be ignorant. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The mark of a true Christian they can't see you anymore. They can't see. Your ignorance is not seen anymore. Your ignorance is not heard anymore. Your foolishness, the mark of a true Christian, they've been with Jesus. Everybody can give witness. They've been with Jesus. They're not ignorant. These were ignorant men. These were unlearned men. Your personality changed. No longer beg. You have the the power to demand. You have the power to walk in faith. You're no longer lazy. You have power. The mark of a true believer. Going back, let's take that from Luke 8, 18 and 28 this time. One of the marks of a true believer. One of the marks of a true believer. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." The mark of a true Christian is ownership. 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 God will never have you to be subservient to sinful men, to evil men. Whether that's in the house or the job or society. If you're a gardener, you're the one in charge. You do your work so well. If you're the sweeper, if you're the maid, you do your work so well without rebuke. Ownership in every position, every level. You do your work so well. Your system all by yourself because of the obedience to God. The life of fasting, back to Saul of Tarsus. A life of fasting. And Ananias went there and prayed for him, and scale came from his eyes. Scales came from his eyes. You're still serving God with scales on your eyes. Can't see. Scale came from his eyes. He fasted. He fasted. Eating all the time. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, there are some where. Chapter 15, verse, let's see. When was the last time you took a day off from your job just to be before the Lord? When was the last time you took a day off just to spend time, not to run around and do housework and do chores? Well, no one knew that you are off and no one knew where you are. And you took time off just to be with God. No fun. Time is running out, people. Time is running out. A life of fasting will kill the flesh, will sow you up, and he shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And God, Jesus said in Mark 9 and 29, this kind cometh by prayer and fasting. Do you want greater power? Do you want greater power to overcome? What is power? got to be teachers, you're being taught yourself. Where's the power? The mark of a true Christian, that walk with God, is power. Where is the power to demand the forces of hell? Where is the power to overcome sin? Why are you struggling? Why are you struggling? You shall receive power. Where is the power? Where is someone that will glory in the Lord? I'm a glory in the cross. Where is your glory? Where is your rejoicing? In the cross, in suffering. The mark of a true Christian. Hallelujah. You can see the countenance change. Like Moses. Exodus 34. Spend time with the Lord. 40 days with the Lord. Where are those 21 days fast? Where are those 3 days fast? Denial. Where are those 10 days fast? Where are those fasting? Because the church, the apostate church, told you you don't have to fast that long. They told you all of a sudden you don't have to do it. Where's the life of fasting? Keep feeding your flesh. Keep feeding anything you want to eat, you eat. Whatever you feel for, that's what you go. Fast more, you have more money saved. Just have to be eating all the time. Grocery bills. Higher than necessary. Because of the lust of the belly. But God will destroy both it and them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God will destroy both it and them. The mark of a true Christian. One whose facial expression is changed because of so much hours praying. Mark of a true Christian, praying. I just steal away somewhere and pray. Stealing away, always loud and clamorous and talking with everyone. When you spend time with God, your conversation is very, very curt, short with others. You gain more respect. Your countenance change. Your voice change. The tenor of your voice, your attitude change. More sacred and sober and holy and visual. Hallelujah. You can see. You're not drunk. You're not loud. The mark of a true Christian, a life of fasting. Stamp the prayer, the spirit of prayer stamped upon your face. Moses came down and had to cover his face. The glory of God shone. Where are those people that love God? Back in the day, love God, pray all the time. Going through lip service. Hallelujah. Some of you will write your grocery bills while you're praying. Some of you go in imagination, through imagination. In church service, you will be ready. Plan your whole week. Body standing there, lips saying something, and mind is elsewhere. Mark of a true Christian is a prayer life. Prayer relation with God. Fruit. Some ignorant spirit told me in the week that some other ignorant spirit said they fasted and prayed. And this ignorant spirit believed that ignorant spirit. Because that ignorant spirit, both ignorant spirits are ignorant. Do you not understand that when you start fasting and praying, you become more like a child? You pray the word of God. You pray the house of God. Do you not understand there is fruit while you're fasting in the witchcraft? Self-rule. Full of pride. Puffed up.
there is a fruit of joy. So never mind what you do and what you say and how you sing. The mark is not there. The mark is not there. It's an outburst of the Holy Ghost. It's an outburst of the Holy Ghost. No, not effort, not forces. There's a sweet, sweet spirit. Outburst of mark of a true Christian. Fire is not movement. Fire is lit from within. Fire is the Holy Ghost. Fire is passion. You sing the song of Zion, not with sincerity, with anointing. Sincerity is bondage. Bondage. Hallelujah. There's an outbreak in the Spirit of God. Your voice is not suffocated. There is a mark. Your praises are loud. Your praises are free. Your praises are not pretentious. Your praises, hallelujah, goes up here. Praises, hallelujah, are shut out of place. Mark of a true Christian. Your praises are not lip service. Your praises are not in bondage. Your praises are free. You can't fake this. Your praises are felt. Mark of a true Christian. Hallelujah. A prayer life. A life surrendered. A quiet spirit. A meek and a quiet spirit. A reverent spirit. When you begin to fast and pray, you become so faithful, diligent, dependable, sober, wise, dutiful, on time, knowing what to do, knowledgeable. There are fruits. When you fill, it overflows. That's why you have to be filled. Because when you fill, it starts coming out. People begin to see it. Your songs are anointed. Your voice is anointed. Mark of a true Christian. Hallelujah. Jesus, will appear again. Jesus will appear. 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 You're going to go where he say. Everybody's going to go. That means in their position. It is already written. We can all wait as long as we want. We can all sit there and fool others. Fool ourselves. Mischief is a sport for a fool. This gym is a sport, my boy. But there is a mark of true Christianity. It separates you from the others. You're born anointed. Your presence demands honor. There's something different about you. You stand out. The mark of a true Christian. You don't talk out. You can be as quiet as you want to be. That presence of God in you speaks volume. It makes people ignore all the talks and see the light. See you. You're different. You're bringing glory to God. The mark of the true Christians, you have an excellent spirit. Everything you do to bring glory to God. You're not like the others. You dare not to be like the others. You're like Jesus. You study the Word. Wherever you go in the Word, you study the Word. You're in the Bible all the time. You're searching the Scripture, the mark of the true Christians. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is your companion. The Word of God. I want to know Him. What does the Bible say? You don't lift this up once in a while. You may have to look for your phone, but you never have to look for your Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All over the world, there are Christians that is marked. They have the mark that someone know they've been with Jesus. These ignorant men, unlearned men, they didn't go to school to study theology. Theology is study about God, all about God. They didn't go to school. They didn't go to rabbinical school. Help me out with that.
Rabbinical.
Rabbinical school. They did not go to sit at the rabbi's feet like Paul did at Gamaliel's feet. But they knew the Scripture. They knew the Scripture. They knew the Scripture. How much do you know about Hebrew? How much do you know about the Old Testament? How much do you study the things of God? How much do you know the depth of what you study in the service? The knowledgeable. Peter, ignorant man, two sermons, one after the lame one, the lame man was healed, and of course the day of Pentecost. But after the lame man was healed, this is like these are ignorant men. And Peter went into that sermon, and the Holy Ghost inspired him with such delicate study that he could have only known, according to them, had he gone to school with them. How did he know that they discerned that they've been with Jesus? You couldn't possibly be with Jesus and be so dumb, remain so dumb, so ignorant. You couldn't possibly be with Jesus and there is no revelation knowledge. You couldn't possibly walk with Jesus. You couldn't possibly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word. of a true Christian. There is a stamp. There is a mark on them that's been with Jesus. They're deep. They're not talking or preaching everything anybody knows or can preach. They're not prophesying stuff everyone can guess. Look in that scripture and find out if there were any prophecies about cars and land and future for a person other than spiritual, I'm about setting. So all this girl belong to you, my own suffer spiritual things. But then see if there are any carnal things that is not the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, may I submit to you the word that we have strayed so far out of this Bible that we have believed a lie. But Jesus Christ is coming back, and here's an opportunity to say, I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
That's not working when you can get the real thing that works
and give you joy. Give you peace. Hallelujah. Give you peace. Give you joy. Why fake something when it can be real? Why hold on to something when you just get them fast? Lord, I need you. Father, I don't have what I thought I had. I'm lying to myself all this time. I have something that doesn't work. Hallelujah. I abandon it right now. Oh God, if you can give me your mercy, let me have your power. Let me have your word. Let me have your spirit. I need you. But fake something when it can be real. And you can experience this great joy. You can experience this great love of God. Hallelujah. Why fake? Judgment Day is drawing nigh. Judgment Day is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. The mark of a true Christian. Lord, as of this day, I surrender to fasting. I will kill this flesh. I surrender. I will put food away. Food will not be my God. I will not wake up every day to food. I will wake up to the Word of God. I will wake up to a time of fasting. I surrender. I desire your power. Give me hunger. Give me hunger, Lord. Make me hungry. Give me hunger. I'm not hungry. I'm too full. I'm not hungry. Give me hunger, God. Force me to see. Open. Move my blindness. Open my eyes. Let me see. Let me behold something to chase after in you. I'm so blind. Remove the blindness from my heart. I want it my way. It's not working. It's not working. I need your help, even to help me to surrender. Surrender to you, Father. You don't need my help. I have my own way of how it should be, how religion should be, and how I want my religion. It's not working. The mixture is not working. I know you want total surrender. I surrender, Lord. I want you. I want you.